Okay, so let's do this show. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills.
In the house!
Another great week behind us. We all happily and successfully survived Hurricane Florence. Florentine? What's it called?
Florence.
Okay, got it right. I think I had like 6 sticks that fell down in my yard, so that was pretty good.
We got less than 2 inches of rain.
But the coast did get hammered.
Yeah,
did
that's
get
pretty true.
Hard. We are fortunate.
We just were really far away.
We are. I had a lot of friends reach out, and I appreciate all you guys. We live, like, Greenville is like, I don't even know, 4 hours from the coast.
Yeah.
So we were good and safe, and hopefully everybody else is recovering by the time this comes out, and the storm waters have washed away. We had some time to play some board games while we were stuck in the slight rain over the weekend.
The slight drizzle that we got as a part of the hurricane.
Yeah. And we also played a bunch of games tonight. What were you guys playing at the kid table, Ryan?
I was hosting a Star Wars Edge of the Empire game for the Meadows kids.
And neighbors, thank you.
And random neighbor kid. But I'd built a spare character, so it actually worked out.
Perfect, perfect. How did they do? Did they die?
They did really well.
Yeah?
They were getting really excited at the end and just like all over the place.
Losing full control.
Not really paying attention. But they did pretty good, and they were finally, like towards the end, actually learning to, oh, my character sheet says stuff that I'm supposed to do. So I didn't have to always point out to them, like, you have ranged heavy, so you roll these many dice.
Gotcha.
So it was good. They were learning.
They'll probably be ahead of me in no time, because I think they've almost played more RPGs now than I have.
Yeah. Do you play RPGs?
With Ryan once a year. That's
yeah.
Much the,
that one time we did a Marvel RPG.
That like, one time.
4 years ago or something.
No, yeah. Your kids have got you beat already, for sure.
Fantastic. That's really cool. I'm sure everybody else knows this, but like, what's the structure you were using?
See, oh, the game is Edge of the Empire. It has custom
system.
Dice.
Okay.
So the dice have success, advantage, triumph, failure, disadvantage, or threat, I guess, and despair symbols. And some of them cancel each other out, and you're trying to see the sum of your symbols basically gives you what your results are and
cool.
That sort of thing.
I definitely could tell they were having fun. There was lots of loud giggling and crazy laughter and maniacal actions that were going on.
Yeah, it was a little bit of like, you know, have patience. Like, I know you want to just kill this person, but we have to have a story. So
they do want to just run in and butcher everybody.
Like, I kill him.
Give me something else. I want to kill somebody else.
Melissa and I played some published games this week.
Okay, what did you guys play?
We played Root from Leader Games.
Okay. A game of Woodland, Might, and Right.
Yes. I know you guys played a prototype of this months ago.
Did anything change between the prototype?
I did not play the prototype. I just played the original or the published game. But Melissa did play both.
Yes, so. I played different factions, though. I think the Woodland Alliance is very different now in the published game than it was. And it was nice using real components, not just, you know, flimsy paper, black and white.
The funny thing is,
not even cardstock.
We're cleaning out a bunch of the prototypes that we had from the past year, and we're like, there's the real prototype! This has got to be worth something.
Oh, maybe, yeah. How many, did you guys just play one round of the game, or did you play multiple?
No, we played the whole game.
Okay.
Four players.
Yeah.
Also, you had the full complement.
We did. Okay. We had the Woodland Alliance, the Marquise de Cat, the Eerie Birds, I think that's the one you played, and we had the Vagabond, which is the raccoon.
Yeah.
And I don't think Melissa did as well.
I Yeah, came in last.
Oh.
The Woodland Alliance won.
Okay.
They were able to pull their, I guess there's a token, or tokens they're trying to put out called sympathy tokens. They're sort of like the Robin Hood, trying to gather...
The Merry Men, or the
trying to gather the support of the creatures in the forest. So they were able to do that very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. So then we played a couple different ones tonight. I can't pronounce the one that we played, but it was fun. What was...
We're going to talk about that later.
Town Builder. Yep, okay. Talk about that later in our Kickstarter Conniption episode.
Cool.
One that Will and I played this week that I thoroughly enjoyed was the Oregon Trail game.
Who designed that?
Not the little
Daryl
one.
Andrews.
This is the one from Daryl Andrews from Pressman.
Their second attempt at
making it. I'm just so glad they finally have...
Yeah, they made a card version or whatever.
Okay. They finally have the components that we loved from the video game. Yeah, so there's actual hunting... And there's dysentery.
Right, you gotta get the...
Of course.
If you're watching Facebook, let us know if you played the original Oregon Trail game.
Yes. We actually ran into people who hadn't played it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess there's two different versions. I wasn't even sure which one I played. Apparently, there's like a 1974 or something crazy early version.
Yeah.
It must have been only text or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what the... some of the cards for the first edition...
Oh, for the other game that Preston put out.
I think that's the older.
Yeah, I've played both. Yeah,
both of
the really old
video
one
games?
Is like horrible, horrible. But it is fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
The 85
when you fire a bullet, it's like this massive lobbing cannon shot. Almost, it's not the size of a bullet.
Just fills your screen up with bullet 8-bitness.
Yeah. It's pretty beautiful.
This board game is pretty great. It's got some tile placement in it because you're kind of revealing the path as you go along the trail. It has some like placement-y stuff. Like, you've got your wagon and you can only hold so much stuff in it, so you kind of have to decide, like, do I eat all the meat or do I sell it or do I have room for this coat that will keep me warm in the winter? So a lot of good decisions there. It has the fun little hunting element where you've got some luck based on you've got a pistol, you can buy a shotgun, you can, you know, take shots, and if you get lucky and hit it, then you get the meat from it, which is super rewarding, just like in the video game. It's pretty cool. We had a good time. I think I made it to Oregon first.
Yes.
But then she beat me by like a point.
I had more money. I did lose more family members
along
the way. So I had plenty of room in my wagon for more supplies.
Throw this kid out.
I think you did. She like got rid of a kid, so then she's like, well, look at this hitchhiker on the way.
Dysentery and a snake bite took them down.
It was a rough trip.
Oh,
that's cool. So...
Well, this episode, we are talking about 5 games coming to Kickstarter the week of September 24th, 2018.
Plus one that's already live.
Plus another one that's going live.
Plus...
No, it's the same
one. Is that the same one?
It's the same one.
Oh, well, you pointed at Ryan, but we had talked about me saying
something. That's okay.
Anyway, whatever. Ryan and I will talk about it together.
So we'll do those in just a second. Before we talk about some Kickstarters, though, let's give a shout-out to our sponsor.
Sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Post Curious. They put out narrative puzzle adventures that they mail to you in 4 packages containing things like articles, maps, letters, drawings, and each package takes about 3 to 4 hours to play. Their current game, Tales of Ord, in it you are investigators tasked with finding 2 missing professors. But their story is intertwined with a mysterious relic and supernatural forces of Norse mythology. So this is Post Curious. Their game is Tales of Ord. And if you go to their website, getpostcurious.com, you can sign up for a free puzzle postcard.
Oh, we could get our own postcard?
We should do that.
We should just send ourselves a postcard.
Aww. That already happened.
Kevin. I'm still waiting for somebody to send us a postcard.
Sometimes. It is still at the ending, right?
We have to put an address in so people know where to send it to.
That's true. I was going to say, our address is actually on the website.
It is, but it's hard for people to go to
2 extra steps. Although I was impressed. We had our first contest went live last week, which we set up the contest form for on our website.
Oh, it is live?
Yeah, and instantaneously we had like entries coming in on Monday last week. So,
cool.
Or this today,
or
whatever.
Today.
Anyway, time travel.
Cool. So is it pretty easy to see on our
website? It is, yeah. If you go to the website, go right to the top. There's like the logo, and then on the left will be the whatever the newest review is. And on the right is like... a little description of who we are, and then right below that is the enter the contest thing. So if you go there, you can enter it, I think, at any point in your whole life. We don't even have to have an active contest going
probably
on.
Probably every year we might do a new one.
Right. But you can go in, enter your address, and then any time we have a contest on the podcast or anywhere else, you will be entered into that contest for a chance to win. Yeah. I think we have some giveaways if you hang around to the end of this episode.
That's right. Actually, speaking of that form,
yeah?
We have another contest that you can enter. It is for a copy of Draconis Invasion.
Oh, we're just doing it now. I'm just going to go ahead.
But it's a sponsor. Well, it's another sponsor.
All right. I said we'd do it at the end, but I want to do it now.
Oh, sorry. Okay. My bad. But Keji Incorporated, they produced that game. You guys,
we had the base game and the expansion.
Will and Sarah did the preview video of the expansion called Draconis Invasion Wrath.
Mm-hmm. Very
and that's
cool.
You can check our YouTube video, our YouTube channel out for that video. But they decided to sponsor a podcast and give away a copy of the base game to get some more buzz about their game. So you can go on Kickstarter right now and check out that expansion from Keji Incorporated. So
that's a cool one. You guys should definitely go get entered right now.
Yeah, so it's a great deck builder.
Yeah, real quick. Deck building game.
It's got this ABCD format to it where it's like, I don't remember what those letters stand for, but they all make perfect sense. Where it's like you...
I think there's different actions, right?
Right, yeah. And so it's like draw, buy. B stands for buy. I don't remember what A stands for.
D, maybe draw.
Command.
Draw sounds good. Action card.
Yeah,
anyway.
The actions on your
while card. I can't remember it really,
it's
it
amazing.
Is really helpful in the game.
It is helpful in the game.
And the expansion was really cool too. So after you win it, you'll have to go buy the expansion.
So check out their Kickstarter campaign for their expansion, Draconis Invasion Wrath. This just came unplugged, sorry.
Oh, good, thanks.
And then go to our website. And go enter for the contest. So,
and we'll give you like 2 weeks probably till we do the winning draw for that.
We'll do that in a couple weeks.
Go get entered in, and we'll draw a name for that. That'll be really cool. I think next up we've got an interview, or no? Let's save that till after the Kickstarter conniption.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna interview one of the guys who's behind one of the games we're talking about.
Yeah.
So we'll get there in a second. But now let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
Why don't you start us off, Will?
So the game that I'm looking at tonight is called Mezzo from Colossal Games. They've got another one they're bringing to Kickstarter. It's from designer John Claudis, and it is a area control war. Kevin's got the shirt on today. Look at that. It's a 2-4 player area control game, and it's based on like Mayan mythology. It's got these really cool looking miniature... But they're megature. We need to figure out what the real name is for that.
Megature.
I don't know what they're called.
Bigature?
Bigatures.
I don't know. That doesn't sound like the right term.
Anyway, it's got a bunch of really cool
they're
giant
colossal.
Minis.
Ooh.
That probably only applies to this game, though. You're on a board. You've got lots of little minis as well. And then you're using these super, supposedly they're like really asymmetrical. I don't really know what that... Vastly asymmetrical. Well,
maybe it's, like, vast or brute.
Well, yeah, it does sound like that. Like, everybody's got really different powers in the game. They're trying to get the most strength and victory in order to win the game. And it's got really cool-looking board art. Like I said, the minis are really big and really cool. And it looks like a pretty cool... looking game. A lot of the stuff that Colossal has put out recently looks really sharp, and this is definitely right on par with everything else we've been seeing from them. So, Mezzo coming
September 25th.
September 25th. Ryan, what are you looking at?
Coming September 27th from Bad Cat Games is Gladiators Blood for Roses. I think it's pronounced Gladiators. There's an extra E in there, but they're from the UK, so maybe that's how they spell it. I don't know.
Maybe it's
really
Gladiator. Torres? I don't know. Anyway, it's apparently a combat card game for 2-5 players. It's poker-like, so I guess some cards beat other cards.
Okay.
You play as a specific gladiator. Each gladiator has a specific hand to that gladiator that they get cards from. So everybody's cards are going to be different. And then certain cards can counter other cards. So it's a little bit of a ha, block. You know, take that, block sort of thing.
Gotcha.
And poker mechanics with betting and bluffing. So it's going to be interesting to see how they plan on putting this all together. It's supposed to be pretty fast. They're saying you can play it in the 10 to 15 minutes between, last call for drinks at a pub or something. So,
oh wow,
yeah, September 27th from Bad Cat Games.
Specifically in that situation,
I think that's how, what they said. Gladiators, Blood for Roses. What are you looking at, Katie?
All right, so I'm looking at Dice of the Caribbean.
Like for a second,
I did. I looked at her and I was overwhelmed with her beauty.
Oh,
and I was
good comeback!
Wow. Ryan can be sweet when he's trying to cover up something.
Which is all the time.
He's so sweet
all the time, Ryan. Wow.
Okay, so back to what I was saying. Dice of the Caribbean, or Caribbean, depending on how you want to say it, by Strange Machine Games.
Or Strange Machine, depending on how you want to say it.
No,
no. Never mind.
So, it is a game for two...
I don't know what I ate today, but I'm just super... Everything is goofy feeling right now, I don't know why.
Too much sugar.
Is that pun? No, okay.
2 to 5 players, and it is described as a small format competitive card game. It's got, you're playing as pirate captains, you're rolling dice, you're trying to, there's like some push your luck, and it says here that if pressing your luck might cause you to get scurvy, which I just think is really funny.
I hate when that happens.
I know. So there's a lot of also take that. You're going to be trying to get treasure and raid villages and plunder, and there's a chance that you might bury your treasure and somebody else will come along and dig it up and take it from you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That happens too.
So as something that is interesting with this, though, is that there are little 3D ships that you have that carry your dice around. And so you've got, like, a little spot for your little dice to sit in, and it's a kind of cute and funny
cool.
at the same time. But the art on this looks really nice, and it just looks like it's going to be a pretty quick game. It says anywhere from, like, 20 to 40 minutes.
Cool.
So, yeah, check that out. It is Dice of the Caribbean.
Already out, as of the recording of this podcast, is Stygian Society from Advanced Primate Entertainment.
Yes.
We did a preview video of this, I believe.
Yes,
and
we did.
It was a lot of fun. You play as, I believe there's 4 heroes to choose from, and there's this tower, and you're placing cubes in it every time you take an action.
There's more than 4 characters to choose from. We chose specific ones. I think there were 6.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. That's not the point. Sorry.
So you take an action and you put in cubes for the enemies and your own cubes, but only a few will come out. So, because some of them get stuck in the tower, and I think that's a really interesting mechanic.
Yeah, there's we got a prototype version and we did our video based off of that. I'll be interested to see how they actually get the components to probably work together a little bit better than they did in our prototype version. But it's kind of neat because it's sort of like dice rolling, except for it's a really different style because, you know, some of those cubes get stuck in the tower and you get to use the cubes that come out, or the bad guys get to use their cubes that come out.
I forgot. Did you say it was co-op?
It is.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting.
We didn't say that, but you remembered, Kevin.
It's always interesting when somebody comes up with a new way to randomize things. Because normally it's just, you know, you shuffle the deck or you roll a die. So the fact that here's a tower, but only a few cubes come out, that is an interesting way of randomizing.
Yeah.
And I like that they were thinking outside the box and in the tower.
And it did. I did like that because it was a co-op game, like you could actually help each other a little bit in that. Like, if you knew, oh, so-and-so's turn is next, and he can utilize blue cubes with the powers that he's got, like, you could kind of load up for him.
I'll throw in some extra blue cubes on my turn.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you have cards, I think, we haven't mentioned this, but you get abilities on your cards, and your cards tell you what colored cubes you can throw into the tower, and then what you can do with the cubes that come out. Like, you have to have a certain amount of... The character I played with had to have a lot of white cubes for her different actions. So it's interesting the how that worked.
And that launched already on September 18th, Stygian Society for Beat Games.
Check it out while it's still alive.
Oh, Kevin, you had something, right?
Well, I do. Town Builder Coverdin is from First Fish Games.
And that's the one we played tonight, right?
It is. So okay, we can all talk about it now. Finally, Will.
Whew. I was waiting.
So this is a 1-4 player card drafting game, and you're building your own town. And I like it's very simple in the mechanics, but there's a lot of cool decisions you can make. So if you guys want to jump up and say what you liked about it.
Well, there are multi-use cards, which I always love. So you have to decide, do I want to use this card for the resources or do I want to use it as a building? And then some of them had special powers that either activate one time automatically or that you can use multiple times on different turns.
You also had to think about, like, do I want to steal this card so that Will can't use it on his turn?
Yes, you do.
Some people call that hate drafting.
Yes, hate drafting came up a lot in when we were doing this game.
Oh, Will needs the inner moat to get 8 points? I think I'll keep that.
Yeah.
I found it funny, like, I didn't play. It was Brian, Will, Katie, and Melissa, and at the end of the game, the points are super close, and we figured out if Will had only one different card.
Yeah, it wasn't even me. If Brian had gotten a different card that wasn't gray, I would have had the most gray cards. Yeah, and we all would have tied with
exactly
points.
The same points. Yeah, but,
and then Will would have won because he had the most buildings, which is the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
But Brian ended up stealing the extra 2 points.
Yeah.
And gave him 29. Yeah, I think you guys had 27. So right?
27.
And then I had 25 or whatever.
It was
it was really tight.
It was a really tight game. I was surprised. There were a few times, like, we were all, like, kind of neck and neck trying to compete for different things. Mm-hmm. Like, there was one thing where, like, Will had his turn before me, and if he hadn't, I would have then gotten the extra 2 points for that. But, you know, then I had to go and try to do something else.
So were you trying to make your town thematic, Katie? I saw at the beginning you had a palace and a castle.
I didn't. But they were just, I was going for a collection of the same type of buildings. If you get three of the same type, the first person to build three of the same type of building got something. And so I was just building ones that were all yellow.
Happened to be it, yeah.
Yellow happened to be the color that I was choosing.
I did like the art. Like, I don't know who did the illustrations for it, but it had a very nice feel to it. All there's a ton of buildings, like every card.
Is it like a fantasy town?
Yeah, I think so.
Felipe Martins and Gordon Oscar.
Well, good job, you guys, because
kind of has a medieval feel.
Yeah, definitely medieval. 1600s. So okay. It's a Dutch-themed game in the, like...
Well, that explains all the moats and the windmills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of women that watched towers and...
Yeah. Well,
cheese lookouts. Markets.
Yeah. I did have the cheese market. That was probably my favorite building.
I like that the game is scaled for the number of players because it determines... the number of players determines how many times you go through the deck, like you reshuffle it. I think we were going to say, why don't you just go through a couple times, and the other, everyone's like... No, we want to keep going.
We're going to finish this. We're so close.
At the beginning, it sounds like, three times through the deck, but you're using those cards and keeping them in your cities, so
there's fewer cards.
There's fewer cards, yeah. So, but yeah, I thought it was interesting. Yeah. And there, I tend to suffer from AP, and I didn't for a good while, and then... Suddenly, Will stole what I thought I was going to do, and then I didn't know what to do with my turns anymore, but it still wasn't too bad.
Yeah, you kind of achieved that one goal right off the bat, and then you were like, what should I do next?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I thought I was going to come in dead last because I didn't get any of the bonus points. There are some cards that give you points for achieving certain goals, and I didn't get any of those, but I had a lot of extra points on my town cards, on my buildings, that gave me points for getting certain types in my town.
Yeah, I got a little too excited, and I was like, all right, I'm going to get all of these, but they're only like 2 or 3 points each, so I was like, I could have just gotten a 5-point building instead of a 2-point to make up the difference. So yeah, really balanced, really.
Yes.
The mechanics were very simple, which would be nice. You could easily pick that up and play it with anybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, cool stuff.
Brian,
if I could just pronounce it or Google it.
Brian, who doesn't enjoy mini games at all, apparently enjoyed this game.
Which we'll talk about later in the episode. So that was Town Builder Coverdin from First Fish Games, and that's coming out on Kickstarter September 25th. Sarah, you're next.
Also on September 25th is Visions of Telios, and this is the first expansion to the Stonebound saga from Sky Kingdom Games, and this is designer Eric Bitterman. In this expansion, they add two new things, the terrain cards and the mission cards. So you can check that out on Kickstarter September 25th. And now we're going to go into an interview with
Eric. Let's welcome him to the house.
Hey,
Eric, how are you?
Good. How are you? Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're really excited. We've been peeking at your original game, and I think before we talk about the Kickstarter for this one, which is an expansion to your original, give us kind of the run through and just play for us what your Stone Saga game is.
Yeah, so the Stonebound Saga is a tactical strategy game, and it mixes resource management and unit positioning. It's played on a huge 25 by 35 inch game board.
It looked ginormous in the pictures.
It's pretty big. And it plays 2 to 6 players and 45 minutes to an hour normally for a match. And it's got a ton of options for people to build teams. So the object of the game is to build like a small army or team of characters, and you're battling or training against your opponent. And the object is to incapacitate their characters to win the game, bringing their health points down from 20 to 0. And there are 70 different characters in the game,
wow,
close to 300 unique abilities. So, yeah, that's the base part of the game.
Cool. So at first glance, this kind of looks like a miniatures game, but with a little bit of a twist in that there's no miniatures.
Yeah, exactly right. The original idea was a miniatures game. A group of friends and I years ago just came up with our own rule set, and it was just, you know, some random miniatures we had lying around. We took different mechanics that we liked in classic video games of the age, Final Fantasy Tactics.
Very
Final
nice.
Figure, yeah. And created a little miniature game that we liked using some of the ideas from those games. And over the years, it kind of evolved into more of a card-driven game with really great art.
Very cool. Yeah, it visually appealed to me. I like the look of it out on the table. It's from what I caught from the little bit of research I did, it seems like you did pretty well on your original Kickstarter.
Yeah, the campaign from last summer did go well, but it took us 3 times to get there, actually.
Oh, okay.
We got a really neat story that went with that. The first time we launched, we had a couple different things that just weren't right. We originally were going to launch the game as a trading card game, which is just not a format that the community wants anymore.
Okay.
And after putting that out there, we got a lot of feedback really quickly that, hey, you know, you guys should adjust this and make it more of an expandable card game. Give me everything in the box.
Cool.
So we listened to that feedback, adjusted, and relaunched. And the more we did that, the more we listened to the community and adjusted, the more people responded to the vision that we had for the game. And then we eventually funded.
Awesome. I really liked that $39 price tag that you guys had on the campaign the first time around for the base game. I think that really appeals to those of us who may not want to fork over $200 for a miniatures game, but we may have a lot of minis that we've bought that are extra,
sure,
that we could use if we wanted to, but we don't have to. We still enjoy that type of gameplay. Are people going to be able to get both the base game and the expansion in the Kickstarter?
They are. We are going to have 3 different main pledge levels this time. There's going to be a pledge level for just the expansion for those that jumped on last summer for the campaign. And
cool.
Then we're going to have a second pledge that will be the expansion and the base game again. And then we're going to have a third tier that's kind of the all-in premium edition of the game plus the expansion.
Cool. So we kind of already jumped into this time around's Kickstarter. Give us the rundown on what is new that's coming to the game.
So the expansion is called Visions of Telios, and the characters that you're controlling in the game, they are now, after training for a decent amount of time, they're now able to call forth visions of the land that they're in. And the game, the expansion, introduces different card types. There's terrain, There are mission cards and there's scroll cards. So not only are you going to tactically move your characters along this grid in kind of a skirmish format, but now you're going to be able to lay down tiles or these terrain cards that are going to affect the actual grid, the battlefield, and the different characters. So it opens up a lot of strategic options.
Was that something that kind of came or as a result of like feedback from the game, or was that something that you already kind of envisioned beforehand? Where did that new idea come from?
This idea was planned for quite a while. And actually, in the first campaign last summer, it was our final stretch goal that we almost reached. It was right at the end there. And I know a lot of our backers really wanted it, but it was actually a blessing that we did not reach it, because it gave our team a lot more time to refine it and make it exactly what it needed to be, put a lot more content into it this time. And I think people are really going to be happy with the result.
Awesome.
Can you explain a little bit how the missions are going to work? I know I saw a few questions on BGG about how that's going to incorporate into the game.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about the missions, because it's going to add, it's going to force players to almost adjust their tactics while the game is progressing. So they might have a specific strategy in mind, but as they're drawing these missions, the missions are going to present to them different options, and they're going to have to make a decision. You know, am I going to stay on the course that I chose, or could I deviate a little bit and do this for that extra option that might put me over the top? For example, in changing my formation, you know, rushing my characters in really fast to get to the other side to give me a greater hand size or larger armor. Those things can really turn the tide of battle, and it's going to make for some interesting decisions.
Very cool. You were telling us a little bit earlier about, before we clicked record, the artist behind this and some of the work that he's done. Will you have the same artist for this? What's the deal on that?
Yeah, backers, returning backers and new backers are going to see a lot of similar artwork. We have the same team from Caravan Studios, and we have some in-house artists as well that are returning. And we're going to leave some surprises. We're not going to talk about this yet. You'll have to see. That will be revealed with the stretch goals throughout the campaign. But people are going to be very pleased with the new artwork that we have on the way.
Very cool. Tell us a little bit about your Kickstarter campaign. What's the, like, you have some stretch goals in mind, it sounds like. What are some of those things that you can talk about?
Well, we are launching September 25th. It will be a 30-day campaign. And we have a handful of stretch goals. I don't want to give too much away, but we are definitely going to expand upon the content that is included in the expansion. More missions, different terrain, and maybe some new characters might be entering the mix.
Oh, very cool. Tell us, like, what's the base price, and what's, you said that there will be three different levels, right? Did you give us numbers on those? How can people get their hands on this?
So the pledge levels are the expansion, the Visions of Telios will be a $30 price, and the bundle with the base and Visions will be $90, and then the premium edition that comes with a playmat and a whole bunch of dice and extras and all that is, I think, around, I'd have to take a look, I believe it's $140.
Okay, cool. But that gets them a pretty full package, and that will include all the stretch goals and all that good stuff.
That's correct.
Awesome. So this will be going live. So this recording will go live Monday, and then you'll be launching the next day. How long of a campaign are you running?
It's a 30-day campaign. So okay. I believe it ends on October 25th, right on the money, on a Thursday.
Okay, very cool. And then tell us a little bit about your manufacturing process. What kind of delivery estimation do you have in mind? And will you be using the same people you used before and all that good stuff?
We will be using the same manufacturer, which is Wingo.
Okay.
I did a great job last time with the quality. We're really happy with them. And the last time we thought we had a great timetable last time. We were anticipating February of this year. And with all things, we had some delays with holidays, overseas holidays, and different things that push us back.
That new year will catch you every time. Chinese New Year.
There were some other things involved, but we did end up fulfilling completely this spring and summer. And backers are really happy with the product. We're happy with the product, and we're really excited to expand upon it now.
Yeah, very cool. I know that was your very first Kickstarter, right?
It was.
Yeah. It was. So the second time around seems to be so much easier, and you kind of have some experience obviously under your chops. Very cool. That's exciting. Tell us where we can find, where we can connect with you guys, and where we can learn more stuff.
Yeah, excellent. The game itself has its own website, and I actually want to take a second to highlight that because we really put a lot of time into it. TheStoneboundSaga.com. There's an active forum on there where our players are talking about different strategies and asking questions about the game. There's a full cool. database for the game, so people, if they're new, they can jump on and, you know, show me every character in the game that can use this type of status effect or this keyword. And it'll list all those characters, and people can build different teams based on specific strategies right on the site. So that's just for the game itself, and information about the expansion is also on that site. And our company page is skykingdomgames.com, and of course our main Facebook is facebook.com/skykingdomgames.
Very cool. So one final big question, how many other things do you have in the works that you're willing to talk about that are coming ahead? Are there other things that you've got in mind? Are there further expansions you'd love to see?
Yeah, we've got probably 3 or 4 projects in the works. This expansion is obviously our focus right now, but the Stonebound, it is a saga. So we have multiple titles that are building this world that we're creating right now. And a lot of people have been asking for solo play and co-op play.
Ooh,
and
yeah, yeah.
You know, adventure type. And I can say that is the next big thing that we're working on in the same world.
Cool.
Gloomhaven type.
Yeah.
Maybe miniatures, maybe. I don't know if we're going to go that route, possibly. But we are right now building that narrative, building that story and the world that we, you know, want to go for that. We're also working on a worker placement that I think people are really going to love. I'm personally a big fan of Studio Ghibli. And Miyazaki and his work, and we have a worker placement that is in that same art style and feel. I think people are really going to love that.
Very cool. That's exciting stuff, man. Well, I think we'll call it right there for now. Thank you so much for being on the show with us, and best of luck with your campaign. It sounds like you've got an exciting road ahead of you, and we'll catch you. You definitely need to give us some feedback later. Let us know how the campaign went and how everything's looking.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Really cool having Eric on the show and learning a whole lot more about the Stonebound Saga Visions of Telios. Be sure to check that one out on Kickstarter. I think we're ready now to say hello to Larry the intern. He's got our Tantrum House timeout. I hope we don't regret this.
The 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host, Larry the Intern.
This week on the timeout, we're looking at No Regrets by Poison Fish Games. Yeah, you heard me right on both accounts. A misspelled title and a company named after an animal that can kill you. That's strike 1 and 2 right off the bat. Newsflash, you're selling this game really well. Not. The designer claims that the title is, quote, spelled right because it represents bad decisions. Yeah, it sounds like your title and company names are bad decisions. This game's designed specifically for tattoo fans, but if you're not a tattoo fan, then great news! Playing this game will give you the same regret or regret that you would get from getting an actual tattoo. There are good and bad designs in this game, but their point values are really confusing. A sun tattoo is 3 points, but a tribal sun is negative points? A jellyfish design is acceptable, but get this, an I Heart Tacos is not you monsters! Tat fans may disagree, but I give No Regrets 2 easy skin infections out of 5.
Well, thanks for that, Larry.
And Sarah, what tattoo would you have if you could have a tattoo?
I think it is my birthday, right? You should get like a...
Not your face?
Not my face. With the beard?
Let's see, with or without the beard?
Yeah. You could do that, right?
Yeah.
You heard it.
That was a hesitant
face.
That was enthusiastic.
What about everyone, since we're on Tantrum House, we all have to get a house.
Ooh, a Tantrum House logo? Tattoo?
No.
Come on, Katie. And the baby has to have one too.
No.
How much would it cost us?
On the forehead? Are you joking?
No, like right here.
I am joking. That would be terrible. I don't think
there was literally a conversation the other day about how much you'd have to be paid to have your face tattooed with a company
Somebody's
logo.
Brand. People did that. I remember that being a thing.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to other awesome things.
Are we ready for this?
Ryan.
Is it awesome yet?
Ryan, our statistician?
Yeah, so I've got all sorts of stuff here, but everybody took the Quantic Foundry and then sent me their results. So I compared the percentiles that everybody had, and some interesting stuff showed up.
So just as a quick overview, if you haven't done this yet, which you should because it's fun, basically it's like a, I don't know, 30-question quiz, and it builds for you your personal board game profile, and it tells you, like, you know, based on your answers, what type of gamer you are. Mm-hmm. And then it gives you recommendations on the types of games that you would probably enjoy based on your profile. So we all took the quiz. We all encouraged you guys to do it last week. And then Ryan took all the data and has like a 10-page spreadsheet here of data analysis.
And we'll post our little charts of our individual outcomes. But there were some interesting results. For example, Sarah was just
ridiculous.
The highest percentile of everybody in each category, except for Discovery. Mm. Kevin beat Sarah in Discovery.
Really? Whoa. I had 98%.
99.
Whoa.
Time stories came out.
Yeah.
The people who scored least in each category: Melissa in social fun and cooperation.
Social fun.
And
no fun for Stan.
And immersion. As well, she tied with me for least in aesthetics. And then...
Yeah, social fun, the first time I took it, I was 4%.
4%?
The second time I took it, I was 9%.
Who did highest in aesthetics?
Sarah got highest in every
category.
If
the game looks awful, not playing it.
That's true.
That's the one time that I really have a hard time playing a game.
That's true. I agree with that.
Who had the second highest since obviously Sarah?
Well, okay. So social fun, Katie. Cooperation. Was
more social fun than me?
More than you, apparently.
Cooperation was me.
Okay.
Highest conflict other than Sarah was Will.
Really?
Highest social manipulation other than Sarah was Will and Katie. Highest strategy other than Sarah was Kevin.
Yeah, makes sense.
Highest immersion other than Sarah was Ryan.
That's
and
not
highest
surprising.
Aesthetics other than Sarah was Kevin.
Mm. Wow. That's sort of a surprise, Kevin.
Oh, I like the art.
So I want to know.
I know, but I do too. Like, I would have thought maybe some of the other artists would have scored high, but
I am artsy.
Kevin is.
So I want to know if my graph was like the almost opposite of Will's graph.
Oh, so
let's see.
Of the six of us, Will and Katie were the closest to each other. Kevin and Melissa were the closest to each other. My closest person was Melissa, and Sarah's closest person was Katie.
Okay.
Now, least similar, Sarah and I.
Okay.
Melissa was least similar to Sarah. Kevin was least similar to Sarah. Sarah was least similar to you.
Right.
Melissa was least similar to Katie. And I was least similar for you.
Will.
Yeah.
For those who can't see.
Oh, sorry. Will. Yes.
Names and fingership.
I always call you you.
You.
So the closest to our group average was
Sarah?
Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're so average.
The
Kevin.
Furthest
I
from
pull
our group average
together.
So if we
was all... Sarah.
Because I love everything.
Yeah,
that's
everything
so weird.
Was
like
a
but
I am the ladder down the bridge for everyone.
If
glue.
Because the 50th percentile is everybody that's taken this survey. So the most average of people that have taken this survey.
Yeah.
The closest to the world average of people that have taken the survey is Will.
Yeah.
He is your everyman.
So normal.
Will is your everyman.
And I think this is your profile that says relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. You're just real chill.
Take whatever.
Furthest is, of course, Sarah. She's just superlative.
Everything.
Some of us shared the same score in certain things. Ryan and Kevin shared the same score in social fun.
Okay.
Will, Kevin, and Katie shared the same score in cooperation. Will and Katie in social manipulation.
Boom.
And Ryan and Melissa in strategy and aesthetics.
Strategy and
aesthetics. So the group as a whole is most agreed. The least standard deviation on conflict.
Okay.
We all value conflict about the
is
same. We are least agreed on social manipulation.
Apparently.
Oh, he's actually pretty clear.
Just because we got y'all two who are not social manipulators, and we got us two who are.
Jay, if you're still watching, Sarah is looking at your profile right now.
Yes, it's very similar to mine, except for I'm a little higher on
everything.
She basically has the whole.
I do.
Yes. Is it a baseball diamond? Because that's what yours is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yes, out of the diamond shape, Sarah's diamond shape is like slightly
the
offset.
The lowest number I received was an 87% on strategy. Everything else is higher than that.
87%.
Wow.
I'm calling this part our distinctives.
Okay.
So this is how far from the world 50 percentile, whatever, the
how far
categories we score furthest.
How unique we are as people?
Yes. Okay. Our distinctives. That's what I'm calling this. So I hate social manipulation, and I hate conflict. Those are my two highest things.
Okay.
Where I vary from the 50 percentile. Will loves discovery and he loves social manipulation. Melissa hates social fun.
True.
She did the t-shirt.
I hate social fun.
And she loves discovery. Kevin loves discovery and loves aesthetics.
Yep.
Sarah likewise loves discovery and loves aesthetics, but a little less than Kevin loves discovery.
Only 1%
less. 1% less, which is a big
important distinction.
Katie hates conflict but loves social manipulation.
I know. That's kind of weird how that worked out.
But I'm in that same thing, though. Like, my conflict is really low.
I wonder what the definition of conflict is.
I actually like conflict.
Conflict was more like a take that or player attacking player for specific things.
Probably, because there were questions about, like, destroying other people's stuff or betrayal.
But the social manipulation is a lot more like mind games, like, all right, if I make this move, will it force Kevin into making this move because he has to get his thing accomplished?
Or here's what. I don't like it. I'm okay with it, but I don't like it because other people aren't okay with it. Is that weird?
Yes, Kevin. Then you're giving in to what other people want all the time.
I score high on both of those, but I actually like diplomacy. So it probably shows right there that I'm okay with conflict. Yeah. But something that did not show up on mine, I have an 89% on cooperation, but my absolute least favorite type of game is semi-cooperation.
Okay.
I will either be on your side or we will be enemies.
Yes. I cannot help you.
All of them.
90% of killing this boss and then you do 10% and you get all the points.
I know. I can't do all of the work and then you get all the glory for it. No.
All right, you got something else, Ryan?
There were three factors which don't show up in the chart. For me, at least. I don't know about you guys. And it was need to win, chance, and accessibility.
Okay.
And I was middling on chance and accessibility.
I can check real
but
quick.
But need to win was actually my highest thing. I was a 95 percentile.
Whoa,
and Katie was, too. So there's a lot of
that's why Ryan and I like playing cooperative games when we play together.
Oh, mine's 83% need to win.
We have a strong need. We both have a strong need to win, so our cooperative games go well.
How high was yours? 95. And what was yours, Kevin?
What did I just say?
I don't know.
80-something.
You said 83.
83%.
83 was mine. Good job.
And what's the other thing from that one?
There's also chance and accessibility at the bottom.
At the bottom.
Yeah.
Cooperation 58%. Chance 13%.
Whoa. You like heavy strategy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at 33.
I'm more strategic in my life.
Chance.
Wow. That's very surprising.
I do better with the games where the game state is changing a lot, so you are reacting in the moment instead of having to plan out 20 moves ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I do better at the smaller increments.
Chess, as I'll say, I'm not a fan of chess because I am like, none of that's chance. That's all like just somebody is better than me.
There's one more thing I want to talk about.
Oh, the game recommendation?
Yes.
The other thing before that we do have to say for 10 seconds is that at game night tonight we had Brian.
Oh, yes.
We had him take it because he was curious about it. And
that's mine, Ryan's brother-in-law.
Yeah, he comes to our game nights real regular. He plays all the games that we play.
Yeah, prototypes and published games.
He seems to enjoy them. When he took the quiz, though, he answered, like, so low.
on every single
don't
question.
Don't care.
Yeah. He was being honest.
He was.
Yeah, Sarah's is a baseball diamond, and his is like a real diamond. It's really
like
small.
Like a raisin.
It was like, if you can think of how small a spot is on that graph,
that's what
it's like a one. He got like a 1% on every direction. Yeah,
it was crazy. We were losing it.
And then we're gonna do a t-shirt that says, "Are you even a gamer?" or something like that.
Yeah, do you even game, bro?
Yeah, that was, is that your result?
Possible?
Are you zoomed out? What's going on here?
Have you only answered one question so far? What was the?
Right. Sarah's looking up Wayne's, who he finished at his board game profile. We're going to look that up in just a second. But as we're doing that, one of the things I really liked about this profile was it gave you game recommendations. I was like, how close are they going to be? I linked my BGG profile page. So I was looking at, 450 games. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's going to look at that. So I was pretty impressed with the games that came up. So it had things like Isle of Skye, which I really enjoy, Tricurion. It had Time Stories. It had games I haven't played yet, like Orleans. I haven't played Orleans. I haven't played Voyages of Marco Polo, which I really want to play sometime. Melissa, what's on yours?
Mine are mainly Euros. I have Lorenzo Il Magnifico, Grand Austria Hotel, Russian Railroads, Voyages of Marco Polo, Great Western Trail, things like The Gallerist, Viticulture, so a lot of cool games.
I'm going to have to go back to mine. I don't have mine up.
Remember any of yours,
I need to go back to mine and look at that.
No.
Star Wars Rebellion?
Probably. Oh, yeah. I think Star Wars Rebellion.
I knew it!
Also, Mice and Mystics.
Have you played it?
No, I have it on my Amazon wishlist.
I have heard that that's really immersive.
Although,
and you scored really high in that.
Although, there's a new game coming out from Plaid Hat Games called Comanauts. You might like that better than Mice and Mystics.
Ooh, Comanauts.
How would he know if he's never played?
Because it's in the same like idea of the same like mechanics, but it's maybe not like adult as in like risque theme, but it's like more for adults.
Okay.
So
a little more advanced.
Very cool.
Yeah, advanced play.
Yeah, I just pulled mine up. I had like Deception Murder in Hong Kong, which is one that I enjoy. Sheriff of Nottingham makes perfect sense for my type of gamer. And it's a pretty good game. I don't love it. Blood Rage is on there, which is a good recommendation. Cool. One Night Ultimate Werewolf, The Resistance, Scythe. So it had a lot of my games that I really enjoy.
Wayne just put his up for us to look at. And he is a very strategic game player. And likes more of those type of games with some...
He's on the right side of the chart.
Yeah, right side of the chart. So he likes immersive games.
Oh, let me see Wayne's profile. Oh, cool.
Very cool,
it's
Wayne.
It's like an arrowhead.
It is.
Strategy cool. Discovery.
So you probably would feel more at home with us than Will.
Or Sarah, because she plays every game.
That's right.
Like them all.
I like him.
Sarah's a true Omni-gamer, evidently.
Well, I didn't realize I was until...
If you're listening on the podcast, you're welcome to send it in to us at hello@tantrumhouse.com. Send us your gamer profile, and we can look at those and see how close we are.
Yeah, or find the live Facebook post and add it there, because I think it'd be cool to get a bunch of them added
on.
That'd
too.
Be fun. Yeah. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for tonight. The only thing we haven't talked about is TantrumCon. We gotta at least get in a quick shout out.
Well, there's something really important we need to talk about.
Yes, there is. What is it, Kevin?
It is. So, somehow we...
Oh, yeah, okay. Now we're excited. I forgot.
You're excited now? Are one of two conventions in the Southeast that are official... Setos Catan, or Catan now, Catan tournament places where you can actually
qualify
for the national tournament. And the other one was Dragon Con, which is already done.
Right.
So
this is your last chance.
This is it. Like, you need to come to Tantrum Con, qualify for the national tournament for Catan, and that'd be awesome.
Very
cool.
And
the people that play are going to get swag and stuff like that. So
yeah, winners definitely get all kinds of cool stuff. And then the ultimate winner will be qualified to go to the national tournament.
Yep.
So we'll have more details on that on the website very soon. But yeah, we just found out that we were approved for that. That's really exciting. Hopefully that'll draw some serious Catan players to the game. To our TantrumCon. And if you are one of those people, this is your chance to get tickets right now, because our best price on badges for the year will go...
End of September is once October hits, the prices go up
10%. Yeah, so it's 10% off right now. So when we hit October,
prices will go up. So get your badge now and tell all your friends, because we're trying to get a bunch of people out to TantrumCon.
TantrumCon.com.
That's right. So I think that wraps it up for this episode. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. I think, when does this go live? I think tonight is game night at the Red Barn.
What?
Yes.
So if you're listening to it this morning, join us tonight, and we'll see you tonight. All right, guys. Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TantrumHouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!